are feeling at this moment. I don't know if you know this, God, but this is happening. I mean, this is a heart of a people who are pretty worried. He lived in a time that was hard on faith. He saw God's righteous people who were suffering, and the wicked were prospering. He asked God in the midst of this two questions that we often ask. The first one we've already hinted at, and that's, why is this happening? And the second is, how long are you going to stand by? Why is this happening? How long will it be before you do something about it? And then how does God answer what is happening? He says, well, I'm going to send the Babylonians to you. You might have missed this, but the Babylonians is the epitome of injustice. Like, it's like think of the bad guy. Now think of the bad guy's bad guy. Yeah, like it's worse. Habakkuk detests the Babylonians, but yet God would use them as his instrument of rectification, of judgment on Judah. Now, think about this for just a second. The term Babylon becomes a key biblical image in the book of Revelation. It's an image that is used to represent humanity's corrupt evil, that evil that oppresses the vulnerable. Babylon is a picture of, well, a symbol really of worldly splendor and greed. Could you imagine that being God's answer to us today? Why is this happening? Well, the answer is something worse is coming. For a time, evil would win over righteousness. Bad things would happen to good people. And it seems like God's answer was to send more evil, to hand Israel over to the Babylonians. Can you start to understand why Habakkuk is going, why? Why are you doing this? I wonder if Habakkuk was sitting there going, I think God's lost the plot. I mean, Babylon? Come on! But it gets to a deeper point. It gets to this question of how can a good God use something that seems so vilely evil as his answer to injustice? One writer puts it like this. Habakkuk was perplexed that wickedness, strife, and oppression were rampant in Judah. But God seemingly did nothing. He told the Lord that, when told the Lord was preparing to do something about the injustice through the ruthless Babylonians, his perplexity intensified. We heard that verse in chapter 1, verse 13. God, who is too pure to look on evil, to appoint a nation to execute judgment on a people group that were more righteous than themselves. What is God doing? And as you read through Habakkuk, you eventually this corrupt destroyer will itself be destroyed. And in the end, Habakkuk learns that though he might not have all the answers, he knows that God is in control and he's able to rest in his sovereign appointments. He awaits his working And he sits in all that chaos, in all that injustice, going, God, you are still good, with the spirit of worship. In chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we see that he learns to wait patiently for God's kingdom to be expressed universally. See, Habakkuk realized, though he did not understand God's way or timing, he could not doubt God's wisdom. That makes sense, right? Yes, he could not doubt God's wisdom. He could not doubt God's love for his people. He could not doubt God's reliability when he says that something will come and it will be overthrown. And then at the end of Habakkuk, he writes this great affirmation of faith. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in my salvation. Could you imagine that? Rejoicing in your salvation when there is nothing left. Habakkuk is important for us because it reminds us, it affirms with us that if everything Habakkuk relied on failed, if everything in his life that gave him stability crumbled to an end, he would still trust God. Another writer points out the importance of trusting the Lord. It's something that many of the heroes of faith have used and have lent on. Corrie ten Boom knew something about tragedy and suffering. She lived with a courageous faith. Upon emerging from a Nazi concentration camp, she said, "There is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still." She picked an analogy that was apt because it conveyed such pain and tragedy. I mean, falling into a pit is not fun. And it's interesting that it feels like during this time that God may not be present. But Corrie ten Boom, like Habakkuk, reminded us that even in the pits of tragedy, God is still there. He is still present. Yes, yes, the pain can be real. But God is indeed real too. In the midst of that pain, this is where faith really comes to play. Faith reminds us that we may not fully grasp God's design for our lives right now, but a time will come when it will all make sense. So we need to trust in God's love. And until then, we must believe that God has a plan. See, we need to read Habakkuk today because it's important. Because Habakkuk addresses a thought that humanity constantly thinks. If this God is so good, why do bad things happen? Why is there so much evil in our world? Why do we, in this day and age, still have to address issues of racism and sexism? Habakkuk teaches us God knows best and does best in his time. At times we try to impose our timetable on God and we get into trouble. Let me share a story with you I read this week. A man found a cocoon on his tree in his yard. He was intrigued by it and decided to watch it changed. One day he saw a tiny butterfly inside the delicate covering. He watched it struggling, trying its best to break out of its captivity. Finally, the man became so frustrated with this butterfly that he decided to use a razor blade to make tiny slits in the side of the cocoon to free that struggling butterfly. Soon afterwards, the butterfly was free, but it couldn't fly, and it died prematurely. Habakkuk reminds us that during times of trials, we may want a shortcut to the answer, but we will miss the maturation process. We might want to bug out or bug off, but God wants to prepare us for a great work or a new phase in his life. Like the butterfly, it's only in the struggle that we obtain strength. Habakkuk teaches us that God is in control. And if God is in control, even in the midst of turmoil, we can find rest easily. This week I read that there's a marble fireplace in the mathematics building of Princeton University. And on it, it's written a phrase in original German, and it's attributed to Albert Einstein. God is subtle, but he is not malicious. God has never been malicious in his dealing with us. Whatever he has done, he's done for our good. Although the reason might escape us because it's too subtle. The Apostle Paul spoke words of kindness in Romans. The kindness of God and his amazing grace. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. But take a moment to take in that verse really, because it's important also for what they do not say, for as what they say. It doesn't say that everything that happens is good, but it doesn't say that everything God, but it also says that God does not cause evil. It doesn't say that everything will turn out okay for everyone. What it does say is God is at work in this world, especially in the lives of his children, his glorious people, to make his glorious purpose come to fruition, to make us like his Son, Jesus Christ. And to that good end, God can and does use all things, the good and the bad, that which he may cause or which he permits. And he uses it to ensure that no experience is a waste. And just like Habakkuk, and just like with Corrie ten Boom, God is with us today. He will never leave us. He cares for us much. Even in night, when it is dark, when the storm is raging, you know that God is here. When you can't see the hand of God, you can trust the heart of God. Even as you ask why or how long, God is still there with you. If you've ever been to my house, you would have met Pinda, our dog. Pinda doesn't like storms. She hates the raging thunder. She doesn't like the heavy rain. And whenever there's a storm brewing, Pindar will look for a person to be by. She will get right up in your space. She will basically try and sit under your legs. She'll go into the furthest room looking for someone to bring her comfort. She wants to know that in the midst of her fear, there is still someone there that cares. Just like us. Sometimes when we're afraid or going through trials, we look for comfort. We need to turn to God because He is there. So the question is, will you trust Him? Even if you do not understand why this is happening at this time, will you trust Him? Trust Him because He knows you. And He knows why it's happening, even if we don't. We may sit there and wonder how long. And that's the point when we need to trust Him more. Trust Him because He knows the time and the length of our suffering. Trust Him without explanation. Trust Him with logic. Trust Him with reasoning. Trust Him because He is God. Do you trust Him? I love the book of Habakkuk. I love it because as you read it, it is an honest and genuine relationship with God. He asks God deep questions. Habakkuk pours out his soul. As you read through this book, you can feel the emotion jumping off the page. Habakkuk reminds me and lets me know that I can be real with God, that I can share my innermost thoughts and feelings, that I can pour it all out, that I can stand on my rampart waiting for an answer. And Habakkuk also teaches me, though, even if the response is silence, I can know it's okay. Because I've had a glimpse of God's character. So I want to leave you with a glimpse of God's character. The words of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 19. It's a great affirmation of where Habakkuk finds himself. Even without answers, this is what he says. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. The deer Habakkuk is referring to is a mountain climbing deer. It's known for its steady and sure feet. I don't know if you've ever seen a photo, and I don't know why I didn't put one up, of one of these deers on like a sheer cliff face. On the most treacherous terrain, it knows that its feet won't fail. And that's God's promise to us. He will keep our feet as we travel through treacherous paths of life. He may not get us out of trouble, but He promises to get us through. Let's pray. Father, as we think on Habakkuk, we think about his honesty and his genuine relationship with you. Father, we pray for the same. Lord, often we know how to praise you and worship you in good times, but Lord, we find it hard and in difficult times when the storm is raging and it seems so dark. Father, we pray that you would help us to let it all out, to express ourselves, to boldly talk to you about things going on for us. But Lord, we also pray that you would give us that knowledge that you hold us in your hands. That, Lord, that things might not turn out perfect or things might not turn out in our favor, but you are still with us. So, God, we pray, Lord, help us to know you, your character in the midst of these dark times. Father, we thank you that we can have that relationship with you. Through your Son, Christ, through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. Lord, we thank you that he has paid that price and restored our relationship. So God, help us. Help us to be honest and genuine, to be deep, to praise you in the good times and to trust you in the hard. So Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you have a plan. Let us trust in it. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us today on our live stream. Until next week, God bless.